Jesus, in the second part of our gospel, is not talking to the crowds. Rather, he is talking to those who believed in him. So what he is saying, then, is not to those who are opposed to him, nor is it to those who did not know him. But he says all of these things to those who have heard and believed. So Jesus is not talking about conversion or coming to faith. Rather, he is talking about persisting in faith and our need to avoid sin lest we fall short of the glory of God. And that is something that all of us as believers especially need to hear. Because John tells us that a part of those who were with Jesus on that day believed in him. And that was a good thing, as far as it goes. It is good that they listened to what he had to say. But there is always a temptation to stop right there. There is the temptation to turn faith into a kind of simple acceptance and to think that it's all that is needed, regardless of what comes after. Someone may say that they haven't been to church in 40 years, but they still have faith in Jesus. Someone may say that they live in open sin, but they still believe in God. Someone may die and want to have a church funeral because they were baptized and confirmed once upon a time. They say that they believe in God, and surely that's good enough. But Jesus shows us in our gospel reading, Christians, that faith is not just what you happen to say about God that one time a long time ago. And it's also not about what you say right now if nothing else shows it. If you abide in my word, Jesus says, you will truly be my disciples. If you persist, if you continue, if you remain. Because being a disciple is more than just words. Being a disciple is also walking in the right way. So that faith shows itself in all of these ways each and every day. But maybe we want to say, well, that all sounds obvious. Of course, being a Christian is more than just words. Of course, we should continue in faith and not give up. I imagine that even someone who no longer goes to church would say the same thing. But what does Jesus go on to say? Verse 32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Pay attention to that word, free. Because when Jesus says free, he's not talking about being free to do whatever you want. And I think that's the way that we as Americans are especially tempted to hear it, that it's a free country, do as you please. Rather, Jesus means free in the sense of being released. You could also use a much more technical word of manumitted, to be set free from slavery. Your chains have been broken so that you are no longer bound to anyone. You are now a free man. Abiding in the word does not mean simply enduring as if I just accept these things always as true. Abiding in the word means not being bound. It means being set free from the chains which once held you down. The crowd on that day, of course, doesn't quite understand what Jesus means. They had heard what he said, and they accepted it, but they can't quite grasp what he means by being set free, which is why they say, "We haven't been slaves of anyone. None of us was born into slavery. None of us had to gain their freedom. So how can you say, Jesus, that we have to be set free like a slave being released from his master? What you say doesn't make any sense." we have not, nor have we ever been slaves of anyone. But Jesus is not talking about worldly slavery. He says in verse 34, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Sin is a master. Sin enslaves anyone who practices it. Sin is an addiction, so that even those who want to be free of it cannot free themselves. Those who practice sin are truly slaves, and being slaves to sin, they do not abide in the Word. And if they do not abide in the Word, then as Jesus says, they do not belong to God, regardless of what they may say. So while it is good that they began to believe, if they remained in their sins, it would come to nothing. Because you can't serve two masters. You can't be enslaved to sin and still serve God. That's why a faith which is just words is nothing. Because it claims to serve a master when in reality it doesn't. Now Jesus goes on to explain further about what he means by all of this when he says in verse 35, "The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever." Now this was a common enough image in his own time, but it's one that's perhaps a little difficult for us because it borrows from the everyday situation of having household slaves. And perhaps the best way to explain it for us so that we can understand it is that a slave is in the house, but he is not of the house. Slaves, after all, were bound to just one house. They were not the common property of the neighborhood. They could say they belonged to this particular house. It was, in that sense, theirs. And a slave may serve that particular house their entire life. Maybe they were born into slavery and they died in slavery. In that sense, they were in the house. But they were never really of the house. Their children would not inherit any of it. And if they were to die, they would simply be replaced. They may be indispensable, but they are not irreplaceable. We see something similar, kind of a parallel, to employees in our own day. Businesses need employees to run. You can't run a business without having someone to work for you in many cases. But employees come and go, and they are simply replaced with someone else when they're no longer there. And while they are paid for the work that they do, they are not really the ones who run the company. They are in the company, but in that sense, they are not of it. And so it is also for us Christians. The one who is a spiritual slave may in fact be in the house of God. They may claim to be a Christian, but because they are enslaved to sin, they are not really of the house. Their slavery means that they will not remain forever, but one day will pass out of the house and be forgotten, and they will inherit nothing in the end. So it is for all those who persist in sin. No matter how much they claim to follow after God, their sin means they don't really belong to Him. Their faith is nothing but words. But the Son is different. The Son is of the house. The Son belongs to the house. And the Son will inherit everything. The Son will persist, and He is irreplaceable. And on top of all of that, Christians, the Son is free, born of free parents and not in bondage to anyone. And what he inherits from his Father, he will pass on to his own children, because he is truly of the house. The Son, as Jesus says, remains forever. And the spiritual son, Christians, is not in bondage to sin. The spiritual son walks after God. The spiritual son has a faith that is more than just words, because the spiritual son listens to the Father's voice. He walks in the right way, and he turns away from sin, and he refuses to submit to any kind of slavery. The spiritual son doesn't say he believed once upon a time and that's good enough, but rather he walks in the truth each and every day. The spiritual son doesn't say, I believe in God, and yet refuse to give up on his sin, but rather he turns away from that sin in true repentance. The spiritual son doesn't say, it doesn't matter what I do, but he seeks to do what is pleasing to God in everything. The spiritual son is truly free. He truly belongs to the house. The Son abides forever. But how are we to be free, Christians? It's not as if we can simply free ourselves. And that was true also in the ancient world. A slave could not simply say, I don't want to be a slave anymore. He had to be set free. His master had to let him go. And so it is also with us. Sin will not simply let us go. We cannot free ourselves from our bondage to it. We cannot say, I'm going to turn away from this simply because of me. Sin would drag us right back to itself. Rather, we must be set free. We must be manumitted from our spiritual slavery. That is why Jesus says in verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son of the master of the house says that you are free, who can argue against him? He has said it, therefore it is true. You are no longer bound, but a free man. If the Son of God sets you free, Christians, sin no longer has any claim over you. And freed from your sin in Jesus Christ, you can turn away from the sins which once held you down. Christ, through his death on the cross, has broken your chains so that you can now walk in the truth. Jesus set you free so that you may truly abide in his word. So be careful then, Christians, not to turn back to sin. You are no longer slaves, but sons. Abide in the words of Jesus. Reject all attempts of sin to enslave you again. Listen to his voice and walk in his way, because he has set you free forever. To be not only free of the sin which once bound you, but to be heirs with him in glory. Slaves do not remain, but sons do. And those who are truly in Christ are sons, both now and forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, set us free from our bondage to sin, so that we may truly be your sons, both now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.